Good day! And this day we will open to all of your questions. And you can present whatever questions you choose. I know there is some concern and confusion with many individuals presently in relation to the recent subjects of climate change. If you choose to discuss that, that is acceptable. If not, you can choose whatever subject you are interested in, and I will be pleased to answer your questions. You may begin.
Hi, Matthias. Vitaly here. I'm new to you. I have a question. The health is bothering me for some time, and I have this annoying feeling that I'll never heal. So it's sticking in my mind.
That you'll never heal?
Yes. It's kind of, I lost hope or something like this.
And what are you focusing on to heal?
Please rephrase the question. I don't understand.
What do you want to heal?
There were many. My life was like a battlefield. So I wasn't aware of the damage that was done, and when I am aware, it's kind of much. It's too many, like spine, like head, like my stomach, some part of sexual organs, or it's and some others, emotional stuff. And it's like a cake, and it's like so much, and I'm in so unknown territory, and I kind of this feeling of never healing anymore, like stuck in this and that stuff. It's too much maintenance, like to hang in there.
I'm understanding. The first direction that I would express to you is when you are addressing to everything, it becomes overwhelming and it is nearly impossible to actually affect anything because it is, as you expressed, too much. Therefore, the first piece is to focus on the situation in pieces. Choose one piece at a time, one piece first, and move in the direction of addressing to that one expression, and then the next, and then the next. But if you attempt to address to everything simultaneously, you will likely not be successful. And it actually demotivates and it creates a sense and a feeling of hopelessness, of helplessness, that you can't do anything, that you can't accomplish, and that you likely never will. Therefore, it is important to not attempt to eat the elephant in one bite, but recognize that there are many pieces that are involved. They are all interconnected, and therefore, whatever you address to, regardless of what it is, and regardless of what you think of as all these things may not necessarily be related to each other, they are, and they are all interconnected. Therefore, each piece that you address to will also automatically be affecting of all the other pieces. Therefore, once you begin moving in a direction, it creates a type of momentum in which you don't actually have to address to eventually everything, because as you address to each piece, they are affecting of the other pieces automatically. Therefore, in a matter of time, all of it will be addressed to without you having to single every single piece of what is bothersome or what is dysfunctional to you. Now, in that, it is a matter of choosing one manifestation or one subject first. Now, let me also express to you, it is, in a manner of speaking, not as difficult as you think, because once you choose a direction and you are focused on moving in a particular direction, your desire and your body consciousness will move with you in that direction. And what you will do is you will present situations and subjects to yourself that are associated with that direction. Therefore, you don't have to actually think of everything that may be connected to a particular direction. Let me give you a slight example. Let us say hypothetically that you chose a direction of addressing to physical manifestations. And any type of physical manifestation that is limiting to you. And in that, you don't have to think of every single physical manifestation that might be limiting to you. All that is required for you is for you to begin and have an idea of perhaps one expression, one physical manifestation that you want to change and move in the direction of that. Now, let us say that you choose to address to physical manifestations, and hypothetically that in that you are addressing to anything that limits you, but your idea initially, let us say, is that you have a difficulty in walking, as a hypothetical example. And in that when you walk, it creates a discomfort. Therefore, that is the first physical manifestation that you are addressing to, because it generates a limitation for you, that if you have difficulty walking, then it is creating this discomfort and it influences you to limit your mobility or what you do or where you go. Very well. Now, in this, let us say that You choose that first as your target manifestation. And you begin doing exercises. I'm not speaking necessarily of physical exercises, but you might be engaging exercises in relation to visualizations or meditations, or you might be engaging some physical actions, such as some light yoga disciplines, and you begin actually to generate actions, which is important because it is not going to be successful to merely think about anything. Thinking doesn't change your reality, and therefore it is necessary for you to engage some type of action. Now, in that, let us say hypothetically that you are, and you begin to generate these actions, and you may not necessarily be noticing a tremendous difference initially. But as you continue to do the actions in relation to that one piece of walking, you might begin to notice that some other area of your body consciousness is not as uncomfortable as it was previously. And you might begin to notice that some of your actions or your behaviors are automatically changing without you thinking about it, but you notice it. In this is your indicator that you are actually accomplishing and moving forward, and that everything is interconnected, and therefore, when you are moving in one direction, it affects all the other directions. Now, in that also, you may begin presenting to yourself situations that seem entirely unrelated. Let us say that hypothetically you have a vehicle, and let us say that that vehicle is perhaps of a significant age and it requires frequent repairs. Therefore, that could be considered not efficient also. Now, the vehicle doesn't seem to be related or associated with being able to walk comfortably, but in actuality, it is in energy because it is a symbol of movement. Therefore, in that, you might present to yourself a situation in which you think initially it is bad because your vehicle might break entirely, and now it isn't moving at all. And you are faced with a situation that seems to be compounding difficulties because now you likely will have to engage a new vehicle, purchase another vehicle. But although it seems to be something bad or negative initially, as you continue to do what you are doing in your actions in relation to the walking situation, unexpectedly, some other individual may present you with a vehicle that you don't have to purchase. They may give it to you. And that you may be surprised, and you will not necessarily automatically link the two together, but they are linked together. This is an important factor, is that It is important to recognize that it is a matter of focusing only on one direction at a time, to not overwhelm yourself, and knowing that everything else that concerns you or that you feel helpless about or that seem hopeless, everything else is interconnected, and therefore whatever you are doing in one direction affects everything else. And you may begin to see differences in relation to other expressions. Now, that may not necessarily change the situation with walking more comfortably for a time framework. And the trap is to think that you aren't accomplishing anything because you are only focused on that expression of the walking and it isn't necessarily moving in the direction that you expect yet. And you aren't crediting anything else that is being successful as linked to that, or that it is even a successful expression. You may be dismissive of them. That is the trap, because then you aren't acknowledging what you are accomplishing, and you aren't connecting all of the pieces together, and they are all connected together. When you focus on one direction and you understand that that one direction is interconnected with everything else, then what you are actually doing is you are focusing on the whole rather than on a piece. Even though it seems that you are focusing on a piece, because in one manner of speaking, you are, but only in relation to an objective psyche, not in relation to the energy that you are projecting. The energy that you are projecting is addressing to the whole. Now, there are many different actions that you can be incorporating dependent upon what is your initial target expression, whether it is a physical manifestation or an emotional difficulty or a mental difficulty. It is a matter of picking a target. Some expression in all of the different subjects that you perceive as being a problem or difficult or uncomfortable and hopeless, choose one. And from that, then you can begin to engage likely several different expressions to be addressing to it. And in that, reminding yourself to be incorporating patience. And patience isn't waiting, it is allowing, which there is a significant difference. Now, in this moment, presently, let me ask you, what would you choose as a target first piece?
My head, my left side of the brain, I had something there, and that was bothering me very much.
And what are the symptoms that you experience with your head?
I bite the cheek from inside long years ago, like 15 or 16. And back then I didn't know what happened that I was doing that. I had the maxillar, the face a bit dislodged. And I began having some trigeminal nephralgia, like a nerve there from the face. And I had some crisis, seizure from the nerve, because the nerves caught signals from biting the cheek and this distortion anomaly from mandibula and the maxillar. And I had some very frequent seizures, 40 minutes, very painful. And it was very unknown to me back then.
Are you still incorporating seizures?
Not anymore. I begin to lesser the during the years, but I spent almost 16 years just going into unknown.
Now, what do you experience now in relation to your head?
It's a mild pain, still biting a little the nerves. Still, I have muscle spontaneous movement, like. And I have problem concentrating because all these anomalies, it gets, the processing of the information is very different. Sometimes it doesn't process the information.
I'm understanding. And in that, I would ask you, in addition to the concentration, and what you express as processing, do you also experience at times difficulty in translating into words? Therefore, do you also incorporate difficulty with speech?
Yes, yes. Sometimes it's blank and the words don't come. It's like stuck there. It's a... I have the feeling, but I can't get it from memory or anything. It's
and the actual thought processes are interrupted.
I had very intellectual, very on the side face. I had very voices and it was very powerful intellectual, and was caught in thinking like. Never-ending thinking that was very not very useful.
Let me express to you, as you already are aware to a degree, that the left side of your head, the left side of your brain, is the hemisphere that processes intellect. And therefore, in that, this is the side or the hemisphere of your brain that engages with processing, with intellectual expressions, with language, and with understanding. The right hemisphere of your brain is more associated with feeling, intuition, creativity. Therefore, it can be considerably disturbing if the left hemisphere of the brain is affected, because then you can incorporate moments in which you generate assessments about yourself that you are so damaged that you can't produce, or that you can't process properly, which is not true. It actually is not true. And let me express to you that In your body consciousness, the physical brain is an amazing organ. It is an amazing manifestation because, let me say to you very realistically, that I have expressed previously, you can actually remove an entire half of a human's brain, and the other hemisphere of the brain can adjust and can function for both hemispheres, even though one is missing. They do, when you incorporate both hemispheres of the brain, they do incorporate different functions. And generally speaking, they do continue to express that sort of separation of functions. They don't necessarily share those functions, but that doesn't mean that they can't. They can. It is more a matter of, as an individual, you are told and you are reinforced to believe that, first of all, when the brain itself is damaged, that this is the one part of your body consciousness that doesn't regenerate. That is the first fallacy. That is incorrect. Your physical brain does regenerate. Therefore, the idea that you can damage your brain, and if you do, that it is permanently damaged and it can never regenerate, that is very incorrect. Secondly, it is expressed in mass, which, whether you are objectively aware of it or not, doesn't matter because you are all interconnected and therefore you are affected by mass expression, even if you don't objectively recognize it. In this, the mass expression, in addition to aspects of the brain that can be dead and not regenerate, it is also widely held that in relation to the brain, that when certain aspects of the brain are damaged, the rest of the brain cannot compensate for that. That is the second piece that is definitely incorrect. That is not true. And what is also not true is that you only use a certain percentage of your brain and that you cannot use any more of it. That is the third point that is untrue. Now, in that, it isn't a matter of necessarily concentrating on the brain itself, because that creates a trap. When you concentrate on an actual physical manifestation, most of you move in a direction of merely reinforcing it because you don't know what you are doing. You don't realize that when you say you don't like this or you don't want this physical manifestation and you are trying to rid yourself of it, you don't realize that what you are actually doing is concentrating on it significantly and making it important. And the more you make it important, the more you pay attention to it and the more you reinforce it. But it also is not a matter of ignoring whatever the manifestation is or denying it. That also is not helpful. Therefore, it is a matter of recognizing that there is a manifestation that you have made important, but that you may not have all of the information about that manifestation. The first piece is not necessarily engaging a hunt to incorporate as much information as you possibly can. No, that isn't necessary. You don't have to know the mechanics of what you are doing. What is more important is that you allow and that you trust. That is more important. Now, in that, it is a matter of merely engaging by recognizing and acknowledging what the manifestation is that you don't like and that you don't want, but not to be continuing to dwell on that. Therefore, you are targeting one side of your head and the manifestations that are associated with that and that one side of your face. Now, in this, what I would say to you is, first of all, you can be engaging a visualization that moves the energy in different directions. What is happening is the energy has radiated out from certain aspects of the brain and has moved into settling in certain aspects of your face and the muscles in your face and around your eye. Therefore, in that, it is a matter of generating a type of visualization that allows that energy in your face to move in other directions, not be concentrated in that one area. Therefore, moving that energy slowly outward down your neck, through your shoulder, down through your core, and allowing it to assimilate in your core. Because your body automatically will use it, rather than holding it in that stuck position. Also, recognize that you are and can continue to do so, even more so, creating new neurological pathways. What that means is you are actually creating new grooves in your brain, in your physical brain. That is what a neurological pathway is. And the more neurological pathways you create, the more your physical brain functions. Therefore, whatever area of the brain may be not functioning in the capacity that it was previously, you can redirect that, and you don't have to be physically directing the energy. You can redirect it by creating new neurological pathways. How do you create new neurological pathways? That is the next question. It is not as difficult as it seems. How you create new neurological pathways is simply by giving yourself new information. And how do you do that? You can do it in very many simple manners. Simply connecting a feeling that is familiar to you with perhaps a memory, but then redirecting that feeling into something that you imagine would create the same feeling. That small action creates a new neurological pathway, a new groove, appears in your brain. Anything that stimulates connecting the nervous system in the capacity of generating feelings, all feelings come from the body. All feelings are generated by the body consciousness, whether they are emotional or physical. Therefore, generating the action of paying attention to feelings or creating feelings intentionally. And when you create those feelings intentionally, associating them with something new, not something that is tremendously familiar to you, such as a feeling of pain. You have many places in your body consciousness that you are familiar with feeling discomfort or pain. You focus on a feeling of pain and direct that feeling of pain to something specific, some part of your body consciousness that is specific that you don't usually feel pain in. And merely imagining the pain in that area until you can actually almost actually feel it. You don't have to entirely feel it, but that you are imagining it almost to that capacity. That is another action that creates a new neurological pathway. You can choose any feeling. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if you label it as good or bad. It can be sad. It can be happy. It can be excited. It can be painful. It doesn't matter what it is. But that you assign that feeling to something different than what you are accustomed to. Another feeling that you might incorporate would be perhaps soothing. And you might not even have an association with soothing. You might not know how to be expressing soothing to yourself, but let us say that you choose that as a feeling and you assign it to a songbird. That anytime you hear a particular bird outside, that you assign that feeling of soothing to it. Your body knows what to do. You are instructing it differently. And every time you are instructing it differently in something that it doesn't automatically do, you are presenting new information to it. You create a new groove in your brain. Whenever you give yourself information about a reason for a behavior that you have that is automatic, when you connect a feeling with a behavior and you give yourself a reason in relation to that behavior, what influences it? What does it mean to you? You are also creating another groove in your physical brain. You are creating a new neurological pathway. And in that, every time you learn something new, you create another neurological pathway. And the more you create these pathways, the more those areas of your brain are stimulated and activated and used, and the less importance is generated with the part of your brain that may be not functioning properly. That gives that part of your brain that may not be properly functioning time to rest and heal because you aren't concentrating on it. And it can heal itself. You don't have to do any specific magical actions with it or any tedious work to heal that. It can do that itself. But in many situations, it requires time in which it isn't being bothered, in which it isn't being poked at, so to speak, by your concentration in relation to what you don't like about it. When you are moving your attention in other directions, then you stop concentrating on that piece that you were making important. And in not making it important any longer, you give the body consciousness the opportunity to move in a direction of regenerating itself in a natural capacity. And you aren't fighting with it. And you aren't blocking it. And as it regenerates in any one area, it signals other areas to be regenerating also. Because everything is interconnected. Therefore, whatever one area is doing, it is affecting all the other areas, regardless of whether it is physical or not physical. Are you understanding?
Yes, it's much information.
What I will express to you and what I will leave you with in relation to this subject is don't complicate it. It is simpler than you think. Therefore, incorporate and assimilate what I have expressed to you. And in that, recognize that your imagination is a tremendous tool, and that all of this is simpler than you generally think. Therefore, don't complicate the information or the situation. Incorporate simple actions, simple directions. They are more effective and efficient than tedious actions and attempting to understand every aspect of all of the mechanics. It isn't necessary.
Oh.
And I will be offering my energy to you in tremendous help.
Can I ask a question now?
Yes. Yes.
This is Christine. Lorene is my essence name. Some time ago, I had a session with you, Elias. I think it was maybe 2007. And it was the first session I ever had that I really felt should have been published because you got into the topic of opposition, which I was apparently and am apparently very skilled at. And you listed quite a few different forms of opposition, which were very surprising to me. I tried to publish this at the time, but there were translators and so forth were getting moved around and changed, and it kind of got lost in the mix. But I will publish it again. But I would think it would be a very interesting topic for these particular times when there is so much opposition going on in the world. And if you might want to if you could review some of the forms, because I was so surprised at some of the forms that became opposition, such as comparing forms of cooperation that were really more forms of opposition. And when you finish with that, I'm thrilled to hear what you have to say about the poll questions that Philip has asked. Thank you. Hi, Linda.
Which poll questions?
Philip is going to ask a question about the polls flipping. Oh. But I thought the topic of opposition might be a very useful one in these times.
I would agree. And I would express that actually cooperation itself is not an oppositional expression, but what you think of as cooperation can be.
Exactly.
At times, you think you are cooperating when in actuality you may be compromising. And that yes. is an oppositional expression. Another oppositional expression is defense. That is definitely a matching energy expression, and it is oppositional. But I would agree with you. There are expressions of opposition that you wouldn't necessarily automatically think would be oppositional. Where this shows itself in many expressions is when people think they are being helpful. When people think they are being helpful because they want to be helpful, in many situations, they are expressing instructions to other individuals. And that is born out of whatever happens to be important to them, not necessarily what is important to the individual they are instructing. And in that, because they aren't actually listening or connecting with another individual, they think they are being helpful because they think they are offering solutions or manners in which something can be fixed. These are oppositional expressions because they are discounting of another individual, and they are actually even discounting of yourself. Because if you are in a position in which you feel that it is necessary to instruct someone else, you are actually attempting to make yourself more important. Therefore, if you have to make yourself more important, you are perceiving yourself as not being important enough to begin with. Now, that also can be an expression of opposition. Now, that isn't necessarily as much an opposition with an outside source, but with yourself, that there are many expressions that can be oppositional with yourself that you might be inclined to do much more frequently than you would with other individuals. Moving in directions of placing yourself in the secondary position, that is oppositional to yourself. Moving in directions in which you are acquiescing to something or someone, you think that that definitely wouldn't be oppositional. You're moving with something else or someone else. No, you aren't. What you are doing is you are expressing that you will acquiesce because it avoids something else, or it avoids a conflict. But that avoidance is also oppositional. There are expressions in which it is very obvious that an individual is being oppositional. When you are expressing that you are right, you don't even have to be insistent. But when you move in directions of you are right, and you begin to be dismissive of something else because in your perception it is wrong, that is definitely very oppositional. In that type of situation, you actually project a wall around yourself in that oppositional expression. I would say that when you are expressing in manners in which you are holding on to different expressions, holding on to an energy, holding on to a direction, that is very oppositional because you are fighting with yourself. When you cannot move in a direction of letting go, and let me express to you that this is another insidious piece of opposition. When individuals express that they are letting go, or they have let go of a particular subject or a particular action, but they keep thinking about it, that isn't letting go. If you keep thinking about a particular subject, you didn't let it go, regardless of what you tell yourself. That if you genuinely let go of something, it becomes unimportant. You stop thinking about it. You stop concerning yourself with it because it isn't important to you any longer. And you don't pay attention to what isn't important to you. That is somewhat of an insidious opposition that I would say in varying degrees most individuals express. That piece in which something is bothersome to them and they may stop thinking about it for a time framework and they may not feel anything about that subject for a time framework, but then something will occur and they will think about it again. And they will feel about it again. And that is your indicator that you are still fighting with it, that you aren't letting go. I would say that fear is also an oppositional energy. It opposes you and it opposes outside of you. It opposes in every direction. And it distracts you from now. and what is actually occurring. What I would say is, it is a matter of simply asking yourself in any situation or in any expression, why is this important? Because there are many, 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 many expressions and directions and actions that aren't necessarily important. Make them important because you have been taught that they should be important. But why? Therefore, that is a significant question. If you can ask yourself that question about why something is important to you, and you give yourself any type of reason that isn't actually benefiting you, that is another expression of opposition that you are opposing with yourself and likely with some outside sources also. But that is a difficult direction to engage, because you are very accustomed to justifying what you think is right and what you think is important. Therefore, it is a matter of having the ability to see beyond the justification, see beyond the constructs, and to move in a direction of evaluating why something is important to you as it genuinely benefits you.
Along with your description to me in my session at that time, and as you're speaking now, is I perceive it primarily as being onto the individual, which I think is extremely important. And I know that can be applied on a larger scale. And since my intent is bridging, I'm wondering if you can give a broader explanation of opposing in these, as the Chinese proverb goes, we live in interesting times, so that it would give a broader approach to how people are interacting with the conflict that is currently going on within the state, the country, across the world, if it could be expressed in a way that would apply broader, in a broader manner.
I would say that that last aspect, asking yourselves, why is this important, is a broad spectrum and can be applied to an individual, to a community, to a society, to a country, to the world. Why is anything you are doing important?
Thank you so much, Elias.
You are very welcome.
Hi, Elias. This is the moderator. I'm asking a question on behalf of Phil. And you had recently talked about a possible pole flip for the Earth. And the question is very strongly is, what are the causes of that? I would say, physical causes and mechanisms. And especially, what are the effects of that? In addition, if you could briefly talk about timing, and I would say timing is two components. It's a question of when this is occurring, but also the duration of how long a pole shift as a process lasts. It causes an effects of a pole shift. It sounds like not good.
In actuality, I haven't actually expressed that the poles are shifting. I have expressed that that might be a potential, but it isn't occurring now. And in that, yes, it can be significant if that occurs. I would say that there is a slight shift in the angle of the planet, but that is what designates a shifting in the poles of the planet. That the angle of the planet shifts, that it turns to a degree, which then creates the poles to move, because the poles remain actually in the same angle, in the same place. But the planet may move, and therefore how the poles are situated in relation to the planet would be different. Therefore, let us say that the poles are at 95 degree angle, and the planet is at a particular angle in which then physically you would see those poles in what you recognize or you identify as the Arctic and the Antarctic. And everything in between you recognize with your oceans, with your continents, in the positions that they are in. Now, if the poles shift, it isn't that the poles themselves move. It is that the planet shifts its angle in relation to the sun. Therefore, if it shifts, then perhaps the poles would be located in relation to, let us say, South Pacific and some area that you identify as Russia. Now, in that, what does that do? It shifts the angle, and wherever the poles are, those are the areas that are, in a manner of speaking, the farthest points from your sun at any given time framework. Therefore, they are ice. They are cold. And therefore, in relation to the planet, that shifts everything in your planet in relation to land mass, water mass, and climate. Therefore, if the poles are shifted in a different place on your planet, those places become the frozen places on your planet, and then another place becomes your equator, which would be the warmest part of your planet, and other areas of your continents and your seas are altered climate-wise accordingly. Therefore, that is the concept of shifting poles. Now, in this, individuals that do not necessarily incorporate significant information about climate change engage this idea that if the polar caps, if your ends, your top end and your bottom end of your planet melt, that that will shift the poles. Not necessarily. No, it won't necessarily. What will shift the poles is if the planet alters in its position, if it alters its angle in relation to the sun. Now, in that, whether the current poles melt or not isn't an indicator that the poles themselves are shifting. In this, what is an indicator is that the atmosphere around your planet is not sustaining those poles to have them remain frozen. That is the difficulty. Not that the poles themselves are shifting, which I would express that perhaps other individuals have misunderstood what I was expressing, because although there is some potential that that could occur, it isn't occurring now. And in that, the melting of your poles at the point, this point presently, your North Pole, your South Pole, their melting capacity isn't shifting the poles, but is creating a significant difficulty with the rest of the planet, because those poles being sheltered from the sun in the capacity that they remain frozen, and there remains these tremendous glaciers, that maintains the balance of the rest of your planet. But in altering other aspects of your planet, what you are doing is you are creating a situation that alters the balance of those two ends, the north and the south. It creates a situation in which they are no longer being sheltered from the affectingness and the rays of your sun as your planet rotates and as it orbits. Therefore, your star, your sun, that your solar system revolves around is not closer or farther from you. Your poles aren't in a different position, but your atmosphere is being affected in a manner that it isn't shielding those ends of your planet, and therefore they aren't remaining frozen. And it is important that they remain frozen to remain the balance that you are accustomed to in relation to your planet. Now, it doesn't mean that your planet will disintegrate or explode or cease to exist if the poles melt. It will change the configuration of your planet dramatically. And that is what the concern is, because that is what is happening, is that these poles are remaining in their position, but they aren't being shielded from your sun, from your star. They aren't being shielded from that power. And in that, that power is melting them. And that is creating a very large shift in the configuration of your planet. That can also, and it already is happening, create a dramatic restructuring of land mass. Therefore, your continents will change shape. They are already doing so. Your oceans will change shape. They are already doing so. And where there were no islands, there will become islands. And where there are islands, they will begin to be swallowed, which is also already occurring. This is the difficulty with what you identify as climate change. It isn't necessarily that your poles are shifting. It is what is occurring to your poles that is altering the configuration of your planet in relation to land and water masses and changing their shapes. This has happened previously in the history of your planet, not necessarily dramatically in your history as a species. The land configuration and the water configurations have relatively remained the same within your human history. But prior to that, there have been alterations in your continents and in your oceans. And that is happening again. Except this time that it is happening, you are involved. Your species is here, and it is tremendously populated in your world. You have billions of people that occupy your planet now. When this occurred previously, there were no people that occupied your planet. Therefore, that creates a significant difference and a significant change in a matter of accommodating the people that reside on your planet in relation to the changes that are occurring.
Very well. Thank you, Elias. I appreciate that. If I may follow up with that. So I'm understanding that the atmosphere is affecting the poles, is affecting the melting of the glaciers, which protect the poles.
Yes.
Now, the poles need that protection in order to remain stationary.
In a manner of speaking, think of it in this manner. Think about a shape that is your planet. Your planet is not an entire sphere. It is more oval than it is round. Now, think about that oval. It isn't entirely an oval. It may be more round than oval, but it isn't round. Now, in that, think about if you create weight on the poles, the axis. You have one top, one bottom, and there is a considerable weight on the top and the bottom, which holds the planet in a particular position as it rotates and as it orbits. Are you understanding thus far?
Yes.
Very well. Therefore, the weight of the glaciers, which are tremendous concentrations of water. Think about this. You might use 5 gallon jugs of water in your home. That 5 gallon jug of water is considerably heavy, is it not?
It is.
Water is heavy. Your glaciers are frozen water. Water is very heavy. Therefore, these massive, massive glaciers that incorporate a tremendous amount of space arrangement with your planet on each end are very heavy, and they create this stabilization that the planet doesn't wobble, it doesn't move in other directions, it stays stationary in its rotation. Because that tremendous weight on either end is holding it in a stable position. Now, when that weight is lost and it begins to distribute throughout the sphere, throughout the oval, then there is losing that stability to hold the planet in place. If you take a stick and push it through an oval and you weight each end of that stick and you spin it, if you spin that oval, it will be very consistent. It will spin very consistently. If you don't incorporate a weight, let us say that it isn't actually a stick, it is a string that is through the center of this oval. If you take away the weights, as that oval spins, it likely will wobble. It won't spin evenly, consistently. It will begin to spin oddly, and it won't be consistent. And in that, what happens? The string does shift. Is it shifting into a permanent other position? Not yet. And it would incorporate a significant amount of time for it to do that. At this point, your poles aren't shifting because there is enough weight remaining that it isn't actually generating that action of allowing your planet to wobble yet. What it is doing isn't necessarily altering the axis. It isn't necessarily altering its slant and its position in relation to its spin and its orbit. What it is doing is it is reconfiguring land and water mass. There is enough frozen water in the massive giant glaciers at both of your poles that are remaining holding it in position. Therefore, that is not as much of a concern at this point. I would say that by the time that is actually a concern, you likely will have already created the technology to be exploring in space and to be classifying other planets as potentials for residents. And it isn't a matter of everyone must evacuate your planet. No, not at all. But your population continues to increase and you continue to not accommodate it in areas that are empty. And you continue to move in directions and expressions that are contributing to the situation with climate change. Therefore, the land masses and the water masses are reconfiguring, and they will continue to do so. Your continents will reshape, and your oceans will reshape. Does that mean that everyone, every human must evacuate your planet? Definitely not. But in relation to the poles shifting, if that occurs, it likely would not occur until a time framework in which you would have the capacity to alter your population on your planet and be able to accommodate the population on your planet. When I express that, the reason is that your continents are reshaping. Therefore, there is a tremendous potential for massive relocation of your species, not to mention other species. And that is another subject altogether in itself, which is somewhat concerning, because every other species on your planet contributes to the balance of your ecosystem. Without them, you diminish the balance of your ecosystem. And at this point, presently, you do not incorporate the technology that could compensate for the loss of some of your species in relation to your world. And that is concerning. It is not a matter of entire devastation now, but I would also express to you, many of you incorporate children and grandchildren, and it will definitely be occurring in their lifetime. And in that, it is a matter of individuals becoming more aware, not to discount yourselves in those of you that are aware and that are doing and that are engaging and looking at the situation realistically. And that doesn't mean, as I have expressed recently, that all of you should be moving in a direction of being activists, or that you should be raising committees, or that you should be engaging tremendous movements in association with this subject, but that you are being responsible with yourselves. And I will express to all of you presently that there are a tremendous amount of you that are privy to this information that are being responsible and that are aware and that are engaging enough in relation to what you are doing. But I would also express to all of you that there are many individuals, even in this forum, that aren't paying attention, that aren't viewing the situation as serious. And it is time to wake up.
I would agree. Thank you very much for your time, Elias. Just greatly appreciated.
Very welcome, my friend. Very welcome. And I will say that I extend a tremendous acknowledgement to many of you that are paying attention and that are moving in a direction of being responsible. It doesn't mean that you have to alter your lifestyle tremendously or entirely. That isn't the point. But it is the point that those of you that are aware, that are acknowledging, that are doing, credit yourselves as I credit you also. And those of you that aren't doing and are continuing to express that this is not as important and it isn't as urgent as other people make it seem, wake up. Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Hello.
We got this is the moderator. We've got about, I'd say we have about 5 minutes, maybe six or seven. Just
may yeah, I
go ahead.
May Elias. I jump in? Hello, Elias. My name is Stanislav, and I would like to know what is my essence name?
What is... One moment. Essence name.
Yes.
Lion. L-Y-O-N.
Lion. Okay. The family essence, my family essence, is it Sumari?
Yes, you are correct.
And the alignment, is it Ilda?
Yes, you are correct.
Okay, I have the other question. Orientation, I am continuous.
Yes.
Okay, and the last question, what is focus of my essence with my server, my essence?
Clarify.
I would like to know what have my essence, what kind of purpose has for me?
The theme of your essence?
Yes.
Now you do understand that not every focus follows that theme, correct? But most of them do.
Okay.
I would say that the theme of your essence is observing change.
Okay. Very well. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome, my friend.
Thank you. May I once more ask if I correct notice it? The essence name, is it L-A-R-U-N?
No, Laun. No. L.
L.
Y.
Y.
O.
O.
N.
Von. Lion. Okay.
Lion.
Lion.
To the animal. Similar to the.
Okay.
Animal. Yes.
Lion. Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you and goodbye.
You're
I'm. I come back later. I'm sure.
I'm Jeffrey, no doubt.
Thank you. Goodbye.
I express tremendous lovingness to all of you and tremendous encouragement. And I also express to each of you, don't confuse yourselves and discount yourselves in relation to this subject of climate change. Yes, there is more to be expressed in relation to it, and I will be offering more information. But I would also acknowledge most of you that you are being responsible and that you are engaging in a direction that is beneficial, and that it isn't necessary for you to concern yourselves with having to evacuate your beloved planet either. It isn't that doom and gloom. I am merely expressing in a serious manner to a serious subject that is actually escalating, and it is important that you are informed. I express great friendship to each of you, great, great lovingness to you all, and tremendous encouragement, and an additional encouragement in remembering that whatever you manifest, whatever you are creating, however you perceive it as bad, it may not necessarily be. Therefore, consider that. To all of you, my friends, in great supportiveness, as always. Au revoir.
Bye.
Au revoir.